This is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Welcome to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care. I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Today we have a very special guest, Jennifer, or Jen, Rodriguez, who's an injury prevention coordinator. Jen, a Long Beach native, is not just a certified passenger seat technician, but also a basic life support instructor with Miller Children and Women's Hospital in Long Beach. Her commitment lies in empowering families in the community with essential knowledge on preventative childhood safety. And today, we're going to talk about celebrating Halloween safely. Hi, Jen, and welcome back.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to be back.
All right, let's dive in because we have a lot to cover. So what are some common safety concerns parents should be aware of as Halloween approaches?
First and foremost, the most important thing we want to stress is safety, especially because Dark 30 is coming up, you know, when it starts getting dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Visibility is our biggest concern, especially when it comes to the little ones, making sure that they're visible to pedestrians and especially automotive on vehicles, having flashlights or glow sticks, especially if their costumes are dark, some kind of reflector, something that makes sure that people can see them and they can be seen.
Absolutely correct. What tips can you provide for ensuring children's costumes are safe and functional?
Well, first and foremost, you want to make sure that the costume isn't something that's dragging, or that when it comes to masks, that it's something that doesn't limit their vision. So if you can paint their face, that's preferred. It's something that's a safe, non-toxic face paint. But if you see that it has a mask that's limiting the way where they can see their vision, it's better not to use it. When it comes to costumes, if they're dragging, pin them so that way it lowers the risk of tripping or falling.
Right, right. I'm interested now, of course, in the mean streets of Halloween. We've all walked them as kids. How can parents effectively manage trick-or-treating routes to maximize safety?
So when it comes to the routes and the safety, going to neighborhoods that you're familiar with. I know lots of people are like, oh, let's go visit a new one. If you are, scope it out beforehand because you want to make sure that you know what's around there. If the sidewalk's uneven, if there's any alleys or anything, making sure that you're staying on the sidewalk, but preferably a neighborhood that you're familiar with, someone that you know, that your kiddos know, so that way they feel safe.
Now, it's not for everybody. So are there innovative alternatives you can recommend for families who may want to avoid traditional trick-or-treating?
Yes, of course. So luckily, with a lot of the community events, they'll have trunk-or-treats or pumpkin patch. You can go to pumpkin patches where they have their own Halloween events. If just the traditional walking around the streets and trick-or-treating from house to house isn't your thing, you can always go for that. I know certain parks hold trunk-or-treats where it's in a certain area. They have different types of games. Also, like I mentioned, with the pumpkin patch areas, you can go there and it just stays in that same area. Or also some theme parks as well offer an alternative in the same area trick-or-treating.
Right. And it's especially good for people who have kids that are transitioning from, you know, am I too old for trick-or-treating? What can I do?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right. Can you share us some insights on ensuring candy safety during Halloween?
So when it comes to candy safety, of course, you always want to inspect your candy. Doesn't matter how old your little one is or your older one is. Always inspecting the candy beforehand. You can do it together. Lay it all out. Checking it. Making sure that wrappers are not tampered with. If it looks open. If it's homemade, unfortunately, just toss it. You never know. You don't want to have that risk of it being opened and your child getting sick. Looking to see and make sure that all the wrappers are sealed and just going through all of it. I know especially this is the best part for the kiddos because they get to see how much candy they make. So making it a fun game out of it. Like, hey, if you see something funny with the candy, pick it out to the side. And that way we can definitely go through a more in-depth inspection because that way parents are not seen as a bad guy because automatically little ones are like, but it's my candy. And it's like, well, how about you help me and check it to make sure it's all nice and good.
Right, because, you know, then you'll see what you have and you can start the all-important trading situation, like 2 bit of honey for 1 Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, it's always the best part.
How should parents teach their kids about stranger safety when out for Halloween?
This is a very big topic, especially when it comes to the little ones or even kids that are getting older who think they're too old or too cool to go trick-or-treating with an adult. Having that conversation of, you know, if an adult approaches you and they're a stranger, avoiding conversations, avoiding going with any strangers. Same thing goes for when you're planning your route, you know, stopping at houses that are well lit. That that's something, like I said, someone that's familiar. Don't ever go into a stranger's home or a garage or a car. Having those safety conversations beforehand. Also, if you're trick-or-treating in a group, who are the designated adults? Okay, we're with Bobby's mom and Susie's dad. All right, here we go. And then a big thing, many years working at camp, was something that's called a camper sandwich. The adult being in the front and in the back, and then the little ones in the middle, just to make like a barrier.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea. Camper sandwich. I'm going to add that to my list. All right. We touched on this earlier, but it's so important. I'm going to ask again. What role does visibility play in Halloween safety, especially with costumes and decorations?
So the visibility, biggest thing is being lit up. Reflectors on costumes. Some reflectors are like tape, so it doesn't mess up the costume. You get to put it like around their legs, put it on their legs and their arms. Anything that's glowing, anything that as a light, something that flashes, something that makes sure that pedestrians and cars can see you, having a flashlight. Not just a phone flashlight. Some people are like, oh, I'll just use my phone. You know, just having an in-hand flashlight or a headlamp and making sure the batteries work and are new. Because you don't want to be walking around trick-or-treating and the batteries run out in your flashlight and then you have to go home early.
Exactly. It spoils all the fun. All right. Speaking of sandwiches and such, can you discuss the importance of supervision during Halloween festivities?
Supervision is definitely a big thing. Making sure that, again, even if you're going to an event, making sure that you're staying in a group together. If, let's say, little ones are getting on a ride, having one parent on the entrance, one parent in the exit, making sure that you're always watching your kiddos. I know lots of families, when they do go from house to house trick-or-treating, like, oh, let me check my phone really quickly while they walk up to the house. Put your phone away. Making sure you're always having that eye on your kiddos and making sure they go, grab what they need to grab from the trick-or-treater and come back.
Grab and say thank you.
Yeah, grab and say thank you. Stay off the grass.
Okay, Jen, are there specific hazards related to Halloween decorations that families should be cautious about?
So when it comes to decorations, one of the biggest things is tripping, you know, just especially if they have those fog machines. Sometimes it's so hard to see where you're going or even go through that fog. Just little by little, and having those flashlights and those lights do help. Making sure where you're going, watching where you're stepping. Some Halloween decorations can look pretty sharp. And think that's staying away from those. Because I've seen houses are just completely immersive experiences. And sometimes you're just kind of like, nah, that one doesn't look so safe. Let's avoid that one.
Or the really long sloping driveways all the way down to a dark house. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, some that are just set up to look like landmines. They have like so many things on the floor. I get it. It's amazingly decorated, but it's like if I have to hop over 5 pumpkins and a zombie to get candy, I don't know.
Not worth it. Okay, so speaking of such things, what advice do you have for setting up a safe environment for Halloween parties?
First, if you are having all kinds of decorations, having some lights on the floor, I know there's specific lights that do turn on and just aim specifically towards that floor so that way you know exactly where you're going, where you're stepping. When it comes to the outside decorations, if there are lights, having some areas also that are pretty well lit, because you never know if somebody just wants a break from all the lights and everything. And having things labeled. If the party's outside and you have to go inside for the bathroom, a clear sign, hey, the bathroom's this way.
Okay. I know kids just want to talk about candy and costumes, but how can families engage their children in safety discussions ahead of Halloween?
When engaging the kiddos for the safety discussions when it comes to Halloween, having that conversation beforehand, if you have a map or you can even just look at a map on a computer, like, okay, this is where we are, this is where we live, this is where we're going, this is our route, who we're visiting. Also talking about when it comes to safety, like crossing the street, when walking on the sidewalk, if you see the sidewalk's a little broken, hey, step over to the side, don't try to hop over anything. If you are crossing a street, talking to the kiddos and see about the importance of stopping, looking both ways, looking again, and making sure if there is a driver coming up, making that eye contact, a wave, they completely stop before you proceed to walking onto crossing the street.
And maybe have a plan in case somebody gets left behind. Okay, if someone gets lost, we're going to meet up at the Rodriguez's driveway.
Yes, definitely. Definitely an emergency plan if you get lost. That's why it's so important to plan it out, to be in a neighborhood that you know, with people you know, so that way you know, okay, you know what, we're meeting at the Rodriguez house. If you do get lost, talk to an adult or meet up there and then go to the Rodriguez house and let Ms. Rodriguez know, hey, you know what? I got lost. Can you call my parents?
Exactly. Perfect. Okay. It's much easier with cell phones. We never had that.
Yes. Cell phones definitely make things a lot more accessible.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Are there any resources or tools available for families looking to enhance their Halloween safety practices?
I believe if you look up any kind of videos or anything like that on our website at the Memorial Care Millers website, we do have flyers that go over the safety information as well as on our blog that talks exactly what we just went over, how to keep safe, how to have that conversation, especially, like I said, when it comes to like kids getting older, getting around 12 years old is when they're like, you know what, I want to go by myself. And it's a lot harder because parents think, oh, it's okay, they're grown, but still having that really important safety conversation.
So how can community involvement contribute to safer Halloween experiences for everyone?
Definitely with the community involvement, everyone being on the same page, everyone knowing like these little tips and tricks, having your house lit up. But you know what? If you don't want trick-or-treaters to visit you or you don't celebrate Halloween, having your lights off or some kind of sign like, hey, you know what? Not this house. Please go to the next house. Because lots of people are just like, oh, well, let me go knock on the door if the lights are off. Like, you know what? If the lights are off and everything's kind of quiet, let's skip it. Go to the next one.
Okay, I just have a couple more for you. Are there common misconceptions about Halloween safety that you'd like to clear up?
For me, the biggest misconception that I've noticed is a lot of people think, oh, well, their kids are pretty independent. They have a phone. Oh, they can go. And it's just like, no, going as a group, security in numbers, going as in a big group, having that visibility, the flashlights, the glow sticks, lots of people are just like, oh, well, they want to wear the mask. But again, if it's going to alter their visibility and it's hard for them to walk around, it's better to just not wear it. Some people are like, oh, if you do have a plan, like, oh, well, they're going to go with the neighbor. Like, is it having a plan? Planning is preventative and planning safety is the biggest thing. Like having the neighbor's phone number, just in case, here's my phone number. That way having that open communication. And also, if there is an ouchie, if somebody trips, somebody hurts themselves, knowing what to do, having a plan for that too. Like, who are we calling? Do you have a first aid kit? First aid kits now come in pocket size. You can carry Band-Aids and put little alcohol septic towelettes in a Ziploc bag. As simple as that. Just being ready for anything that can happen.
Absolutely. Finally, what can families do post-Halloween to continue the conversation about safety?
I know this is something that I would do when I would take my nephews and nieces trick-or-treating and having like a regroup. Like, hey, what did you guys see? How can we make this better? What can we plan? And surprisingly, the kiddos see a lot more than we do. And I think it's just because it's at their level where they notice things. Definitely continuing that conversation and going into like, oh, remember when we went trick-or-treating and we had to wear the lights at nighttime when we went outside walking? Same thing. You know, we still have to wear them because even though we're not trick-or-treating anymore, we still have to have that visibility, especially at night.
Well, Jen, we so appreciate your time and everything you do to help keep our families safe and sound year-round. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Of course. It was a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
And as we wrap up, I want to thank you for tuning into Weekly Dose of Wellness. If you're looking for more Halloween safety tips, don't forget to visit millerchildrens.org/injuryprevention. Join us next week for more insightful discussions aimed at supporting your journey to better health. That's all for this time. I'm Deborah Howell. Have yourself a terrific day.